The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. After hearing the gospel, good news of the Lord, I kind of enjoyed. I was really getting into that. I don't know if you could tell. Many people hear this gospel reading to be about Jesus getting pretty serious about sin. You know, if you don't stop yourself from doing particularly bad sins, God's going to send you to hell when you die, right? And that kind of interpretation can happen, and happens often, when you forget the context. Scripture's all about location, location, location. I mean, why is Jesus saying this? It's in response to his disciples trying to judge others. Last week, they were judging themselves, who was greatest. Jesus tried to teach them about little, the children, small being great. This week, they judge outsiders. Sure, they're safe to judge. They're not one of us. So Jesus responds, "Nope. If they're not against us, they actually could be helping, and possibly more than you dense dozen," as Bill says, "who call me teacher, but don't seem to get anything that I'm teaching you." Then the second of the sayings, which comes down to two words, stumbling block, millstone, stone. The Greek word is skandalizo, where we get the word scandal from. Literally, something you trip over, a stumbling stone. In the first case, Jesus is really mad. His disciples aren't getting it at all. And he says, I think, one of the harshest things recorded in the Gospels. If you throw a small rock in front of one of these little ones to trip them up, you should really have a big rock hung around your neck so you drown. Enough already of your judging the little ones. He's pretty mad. Little ones aren't merely children in the gospel. Sometimes they are, but here he distinguishes outsiders who believe, little ones who believe, the vulnerable ones. Basically, they're the opposite of the great, powerful, rich ones, which connects with God's concern in the Hebrew scriptures about the powerful watching over the widow, the orphan, and the day laborer, the people who are vulnerable in society. We humans are worried about being the greatest and who's in and who's out, and Jesus, God, worries always about the little ones, the unprotected, who have no one to protect them but God. Then Jesus turns the mirror on his disciples. He's not done being mad yet. "You keep trying to judge everybody. Why don't you judge yourself?" This is where Jesus himself becomes a bit scandalous. which is revealed in all of the Gospels, because Jesus doesn't go around and tell immoral people to get in shape. He goes around telling religious people to stop judging our neighbors. And even more, he goes around revealing our inmost thoughts and intentions, which aren't so good. And he takes it to the extreme. Jesus was a good Jewish boy, so he uses the Jewish custom of exaggeration to make the point. He doesn't literally want people to do these things. What good would that do? As I thought when I was a teenager, which made Christianity seem kind of primitive and frightening. I don't know about you, if you take it literally. And in one of the few places in Scripture, Jesus mentions hell. By the way, if you want to read a really good article on hell, it just came out. It's in the October Living Lutheran. It's a brilliant little article, I think, written by a pretty good writer, Tim Wengert. It really is brilliant. I think it's a great little article. I posted it to Facebook, and there are also some copies out there for those who are not Facebook. Say that again? Savvy or even like Facebook. There are some people who just don't like it. They don't want it. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Look, I get one of my few spontaneous amens, you know? Mark, in the gospel, doesn't even translate hell into Greek. He keeps it the Hebrew word, Gehenna, which is the name, the actual name, of a long-time garbage dump outside of Jerusalem's walls that smolders, because it's, and it stinks. It's, I'm having trouble with words. It's composting, which connects it to the unquenchable fire. This is a metaphor for the unquenchable fire, where what's left of a person, their worm, suffers. See how that, if that didn't make sense. So for those of us who judge others lesser than, or judge others harshly, and actually I can't imagine many are not convicted by this, especially in our era where we seem to have unshakable stereotypes of our fellow citizens. Jesus is talking directly to us here, in no uncertain terms, is condemning us completely. There's no escape. We use the gifts of God, hands, feet, eyes, and tongues, for destruction. And by putting stumbling blocks before others, we actually trip ourselves up. To judge others is to trust ourselves instead of God. See, Jesus is preaching a sermon on the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." On one hand, our self-centered judgment of others, and on the other, God's righteous judgment. Can you see how we're the same as the disciples? Judging, trying to make, jumping to conclusions, making assumptions, not knowing what's really going on, and trying to make ourselves better than? Jesus is preaching to us. We don't have to wait to die. We can feel the heat now through Jesus' words. For everyone will be salted with fire. Jesus' words salt everybody who hears them with fire. Jesus' salty words convict us. And here's the good news. And that's the point of the gospel, by the way, not to make us change our behavior, but rather to drive us to Christ, to trust God. Everyone in Jesus' day knew that salt was good because even in the hottest climate, it preserves food. See, salt preserves. Jesus' salty words condemn us, cut us off short, body and soul, in order to preserve us, cure us, turn us back into little believing ones, and this is the point, to drive us to trust God and not ourselves. That is, he turns us from trusting ourselves and our own hands and feet and eyes and mind and all the rest, and drives us into the arms of God, God's mercy. We lose ourselves in order to find ourselves in God's arms. That's the theme in this section of Mark, losing oneself to find oneself. Have salt in yourselves and be cured and be at peace with one another. That is, our lives as Christians always and only move from the salt of God's judgment to the peace and mercy of God's peaceable kingdom. From death to life, from the drowning in baptism of the old self-centered creature who trusts the self, to the raising of the new creature of faith in God. Then and only then do we have peace with God and with one another. Through Jesus' salty word. Amen.